for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hello, it is I, Victoria, your DM. Your very flustered DM. I am currently in a hotel room. I don't have my equipment, my proper microphone, or my laptop extension cord, because I left them at home, which is not good. I'm on my way to Gen Con, and so I'm recording using my laptop microphone right now, so that's why this doesn't sound great. Also, because I don't have my power bar, and my power is low. I was planning on editing this tonight while I was in the hotel, but that is not going to happen. So, thankfully, we have Ryan Bolter, our wonderful dialogue editor, who has edited this down. I guess this just isn't going to be scored or anything like that. And there won't be any music, and I'm sorry about that. I just didn't bring a bag with me. I left it. It's near my front door, which doesn't do me very well 4 hours away from where I'm currently at. So, here is us, without any bells and whistles. Enjoy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Before we get into anything today, I wanted to check in with everyone, because we are getting close to the end. And I'm incredibly excited about that, but I'm also really kind of starting to realize the end is coming. Mm-hmm. And the emotions are starting to stir. It's bittersweet.
Oh, yes. I don't know if I'm ready.
And this is the longest campaign I have ever been a part of.
Me too.
Are we hitting 4 years? Is it officially 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
It'll be 4 years. In the fall when our first episode went out, mm-hmm. in the fall. But we started recording
months
before that.
Months ahead of time. Yep. Yeah, because we wanted to be prepared, you know?
And I had no idea what I was doing editing-wise. And I needed time. Mm-hmm. Like, each episode took me, 20-something hours to make.
I remember that in the beginning. It was a painstaking process for you. But, you were so passionate about it. Like, it was everything. Like, the broadswords has been incredible for us.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. So check in. Hi. How's everyone doing?
Oh, hey. You know.
Game-wise. Where are you at?
I would say that last fight left me a little bit anxious, because if it were not for Yulari's banishment, I genuinely think that potentially either Yulari's or Keela could have gone down in that fight. Now, I'm not saying that it means death, but as far as I know, we've gone down in combat before, right?
I think I've gone unconscious a couple times, but
we've had some unconscious moments. Yeah,
like close
yeah.
with death saves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think if Ylaris and Keela both went down, then we would be really screwed. Because I don't think we have any healing potions or anything around that Maypri could use.
We've
so.
Never even considered that as an option. Healing potions, no, what are those?
I've never heard of them.
I mean, I have Cure Wounds, yeah. right? So I always kind of figure I'll just use Cure Wounds and...
We don't really go shopping a lot, and we don't have any money. So that's never been a big part of our game.
Not that that stopped
yeah, last
us.
Time we needed, like, weapons, we figured out this, like, transaction. Mm-hmm. So maybe we need to, like, transaction our way into some healing potions or something. But either
it's
way.
It's going to be hard on the road in the middle of Rashomon in a war zone.
It's a war zone, yeah. Who has healing potions? They're all in the war.
Yeah.
Valid. But the point is, the last fight did make me anxious because I really was at the point near where the banishment occurred. I wasn't sure if we were going to make it through.
Yeah.
I will say it's fun having to actually flex some of these muscles and being like, okay, how strong are they really? And pull out some big guns and see what happens, I think.
I mean, that's you do fun. Recognize that you are the bulk of the damage, Ylaris?
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that you recognize that because it ain't Keela.
Ylaris enjoys that.
So, talking about getting close to death then, because you haven't yet had a long rest.
Nope.
You're in extremely dangerous territory.
Yep.
How do you feel about death? Not in real life. You don't need to get philosophical. But how do you feel about player character death?
I will cry a lot and for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I will too. I've had characters die.
And I cry a lot for a long time when that happens. Like,
it's sad.
It's hard. 4 years is a long time to spend with a character that has kind of been a part of you. You know? The two of us go on the same journey together. And to lose part of that, that's heavy. So that's how I feel. I might be sobbing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In terms of strictly looking at it from the perspective of who Keela is as a character, I think that it's something I could see her accepting. I think that because I think that she's grown a lot, and I think that if she sees it as a way to potentially save her friends and maybe kind of reunite with Rula in whatever sort of spiritual way there is or there isn't, I think that she would be okay with it. It'd be a little more challenging for me because I've had characters in one shots die, but I've never had a campaign character die. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know how I would feel. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't.
Yeah, it's a grieving process. I know we've discussed this before about the grieving process. It's a grieving process when the campaign in and of itself ends, because that's a story you've been telling for an extended period of time. But then your character dies and there's a grieving process. You cry and you grieve it. There is a process. 'Cause this is a person you have created and played, and yeah, it can be a lot. And I know as a DM I will cry because I've been on this story with the three of you since the beginning, helping shape it and seeing where you go with it, and that's a lot for me as well.
Yeah,
but how are we in, obviously there'll be grief, but are you okay with death happening as a thing, as a possibility?
For Keela, yeah. Yes. For Maypri and Ylaris?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm willing to accept those stakes and the journey. And, like, I think one of the conversations that we had before about, I don't want to get into details because I don't know if this is still your plan, Victoria, so no spoilers, but one of the conversations that had been had was like, would Yolari's potentially willingly participate in something that would cause her death? And my answer to that had been no, because I don't think she would. She's not like, she's got plans and she's got ambitions, and she probably wouldn't like be super keen on like participating in something. But like at the same time, she's also not walking away from the fight. If and shit happens in the fight, then that's what happens. So I think that I am fine with. I don't think she would like make the plan to be like, yes, this is how I go and I'm going to be part of redacted, but I'm not gonna if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, and I just hope that she can go out with, you know, guns blazing and do something cool if that's how it happens.
B? So I'm sitting here thinking about me pre-dying and it's already making me tear up.
Oh no.
So like, had you asked me this question when we first started this show, I would have been like, yeah, kill her off. It's fine. Like, I've had fun with this character. But the journey that Maypri has gone through fighting for her friends, if there was one thing that I could ever fight for her, I think it would be to live. I really want that for her. But mm-hmm. I'm also 50-50 because the drama. Yeah. I love the drama.
I know.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And like, I feel like I would just be iconic. Like, if Maypri dies, like I know I just because I can't handle it doesn't mean I don't want it to happen. You know, it's mm-hmm. just it will destroy me.
Oh, no.
And that's fine.
Like what I hope fine. Is that, OK, I hope that we don't do TPK. So then potentially whoever dies, like the other two can go on a big resurrection quest. So that could be possible. But I will say, like, Yolari still has to go and like snatch that estate from under her grandfather's nose and take control of the family and like grind their noses into the dirt and become not only a magical force to be reckoned with, but like a social and economic force to be reckoned with, and play little like puppets with all the society of Waterdeep and set up a big like trade route between Rashomon and the coast, and just like there's a lot of things that she needs to do, but
also Yolari Jr. Somebody yeah. has to take care of our baby
somebody
goat.
Somebody has to take care of the goat.
Who is Yolari Jr.'s godparent?
Well, I mean,
who's still alive? Like,
Cowan, maybe? I think Cowan might have to be Yolari Jr.'s godparent.
Around all the time, though, and doing things. Like, I don't know if they're
really fell in love with Yolari's Jr.
Like
of all the
Cowan
adventurers,
a lot, obviously, but I don't know if they're responsible enough for parenthood.
I know Buckminster is not responsible enough for parenthood.
No. Leon is, so if we give the goat to Buckminster, we know that Leon will take great care.
Buckminster drags Leon into very bad situations.
Yeah, but like she'll live lavishly, and isn't that what every goat parent wants for their goat kid?
I'm gonna have to think on this a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for checking in and speaking openly and honestly.
Care. Maybe care. I don't know.
Yep.
He's got that. Care just... He's got that real paternal vibe, so. Depends. Depends on That's if he's true. Done being, you know, in different planes, getting limbs all screwed up. But
yeah.
I don't know. That's an option. I don't know. We'll have to think about it. Sorry, Victoria.
That's all right. We'll have to call it Pat and see, see what's going on.
All right. You have just banished that creature. You can smell that necrotic stench. It lingers in the air.
Is everyone okay? Kila, I can't see you. Kila, does anyone need healing? And Kila's kind of like bent over right now, with her hands on her knees, kind of collecting her breath after that. But she kind of closes her eyes, pauses for a second, and then said, okay, Who needs healing?
I'm pretty sure if I recall, Larry's had been like knocked down prior to that last blow. And so she was like on the ground casting blight up at it, and not blight, banishment. So I think she just like has collapsed back onto the ground. You just see like an arm raise up from flat on the ground from the grasses and bushes.
Oh, she's over there. I see the hand.
Is that a yes from you, Larry's? I'm gonna go towards that hand.
It's an emphatic yes.
Yeah, sounds aren't good.
Okay, I'm going to cast cure wounds at the third level on you, Larry's.
What does that look like?
I see this hand sticking up from the grass, so I clasp that hand between my two hands and just send the healing energy directly through that hand and throughout Yulari's body and in kind of a faint white glow. Oh, goodness gracious. 10 healing points. I rolled 3d8. I got a 2, a 1, and a 3.
Oh, wow.
And that's my last level 3 spell slot.
Oh, God. Shoot.
You're welcome.
thank you. Perhaps we could take a brief repose.
Yeah. Is it safe?
Probably not, but
I can do like a walk around. I'm pretty okay. You know, I mean, it was scary, but I didn't really want to look at me, and I really wanted to fight it, and I kept trying to go for Yulari's. But yeah, I can check the perimeter.
It really had it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Had we met before? Did it?
Have you met a dragon before?
Well, a couple. We've all met a couple dragons, but not
like that dragon.
Quite certain we haven't met that dragon before. Okay. I don't know why it was so prejudiced against me.
Are there any dragons that we have upset that perhaps ended up in the shadow plane and this dragon became of that?
I mean, there was that one dragon we went to tea for.
She was lovely.
Oh, she was lovely. Yeah, but what if she secretly held a grudge
against me, particularly?
Yeah.
We discussed library organization, and she was very on board with my ideas. I resent the implications.
Sounded boring, but okay.
You sound boring.
What? Okay, you're feeling better, I think.
Marginally.
Yeah, if those two want to rest, though, I will walk around for a little bit. I don't need any spells. Okay. I don't even know what you get from a short rest. I don't need that, though.
You can roll hit dice. And hit dice. I can I can do arcane recovery, which would be really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, just sort of like scoot up against a tree and start making just sort of pathetic, wounded little noises. But at the same time, although our friend, the Rashemi chef, was not able to impose exhaustion on the very nasty, prejudiced dragon, I think Hilaris is also contemplating that perhaps she should be bringing more spirit companions with her on a more regular basis. And so as I do the short rest, I am going to whisper a brief thank you to the Rashemi chef and say that I hope we meet again. I think this journey requires someone a little more equipped with weaponry, and he hoists his baking sheet. I'm like, that's very impressive, but something a little pointier. We'll talk again soon, and I am going to let him go and start working on binding 3 new spirits.
Does he leave us any snacks?
I think a few spectral macarons are left floating.
Excellent, excellent.
What does that process look like of dispelling a spirit and then bringing in new ones?
I mean, I think it really looks like Hilarious having a really, like, one-sided conversation with a silent spirit who's like...
But silently, yeah.
But silently. Like, you can sort of hear it trickling in from the ethereal plane. But, like, there's a little bit of negotiation. And I think he liked us. I'm choosing to believe he liked us. He hung out. He fed us. We liked his food. So sort of, like, hunches his shoulders and nods and just sort of starts walking away and sort of, like, dissipates. But I think to bind the new ones, she's going to like meditate for a bit and maybe just sort of like even just place a few objects in front of her to sort of as focal points for the three different spirits that she is trying to attract, and like spend a little bit of time like meditating and imbuing each object with the feeling that she wants to draw the spirit to. So she is trying to draw a spirit of empathy, a spirit of envy, and a spirit of passion. So what do I have in my bag that I could... I'll use the like the cloak of many fashions and like set it to something like cool and fashionable and kind of sexy,
which to draw is the
like dark red furs, like ooh. Yeah, like big poofy. I'm picturing like 1930s film star okay. style.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
something that you'd have a passionate affair in, perhaps. I don't know.
Ooh,
yes. So we'll draw the spirit of passion with that. The spirit of envy. Maybe I'll use my dagger. And I do have a component pouch with lots of other things. But for empathy, a tiny mirror out of the component pouch. You know she has plenty of mirrors.
Completely. Mm-hmm. It's Yalair's.
Oh, hey. You all do your thing. We have Mapri doing a circle. We have Yalaris meditating. What is Keela doing?
So I have a bard skill that I've literally never once used because we have literally never short rested. It is called Song of Rest. So essentially during a short rest, any friendly creatures or you or any friendly creatures who can hear your performance, who spend one or more hit dice to regain hit points at the end of the short rest, you get an extra 1d8 hit points.
Cool.
You are welcome, Yalaris. Actually, you know what? I'm going to quickly check if I get any more of
an
that.
An extra 1d8?
Now that I'm at higher level.
That's yeah. amazing.
If you use a hit dice,
I am you get an extra a lot of fucking hit dice, let me tell you.
So for flavor, for while Keela's doing the song, we all know that Keela's not a good singer, and I feel like jug music isn't very restful. So I think that she's going to just hum something, and it's just kind of a very soft, slow song. Maybe something that Rula used to sing for her. She tries to bring it back and emulate it. And it's just kind of a quiet, almost a lullaby sort of song.
Okay.
I'm going to use all my hit dice, I tell you. This is...
Yeah, I'm on that path, too.
Do I find anything while I'm walking about?
You do not. However, as you're walking about paying attention, because I assume your senses are heightened,
oh, yeah.
you're on watch, you can hear a faint... drum. Boom. Boom. A deep, great war drum.
Does it remind me of the one, you know, from the first war that Mapri experienced?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is big, deep, and it's coming from behind you.
I'm gonna rush back to my friends.
I used every single hit dice, but it was worth it.
Hey, so, Yalaris, you look very meditative right now, and, Keela, beautiful humming, but, when I walk behind us, just like a little bit, I hear some drumming, and it reminds me of war drums, like, the ones that we don't want to be around. Maybe we should keep moving, like... now?
Okay, Hilaries, are you gonna be okay?
Boom.
I guess I'd better be.
Boom.
We do manage to finish our short rest, though, right?
Yeah, you
okay,
do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank goodness.
I would like to say you're welcome.
Now, I know that I made a note last session that we should be heading north. Are these drums coming? Which direction are they coming
from? They're coming from south.
Okay, let's move north. Good, good. We gotta go in the direction we planned.
Yep, we're on track. This is good. It's just
a little motivation, right?
Yeah.
And like Mapri is gonna like crack a yawn.
Well, Wow, I guess I'm a little tired.
Maypri, do you need any healing or maybe a little restoration?
Not at the moment, but
maybe later.
Yeah, maybe I could get a short rest later on. Who knows, though?
I can make you invisible. Would that make you feel better?
Oh, no, not at all. But thank you.
All right.
Four of us head out.
Yeah.
Goat and toe.
Yeah. Baby Bjorn, goat. And then I think as Yulari stands up and starts moving, it's sort of like the vague blurring of her form with like the three spirits that are now like following her. So it's like a sort of strange mixture of like if you look at her hard like out of the corner of your eye, you can almost see like, I don't know, probably like the form of another Huthran and like a berserker sort of blurring in and out of view. But I'm fully loaded up with spirits now, y'all.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
We're going to do this right.
Mm-hmm.
As you move, and now that you're aware of it, you can hear that deep resounding drum in the distance. You are definitely sure that this is an army that is on its way to the Rimyani stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
Could I have survival checks from everyone, please?
Yeah, that's something I'm super good at.
17?
It was so close to a natural 20, and then it rolled over to an 8.
21!
Okay, Maypri and Keela, you can tell that this army is far enough away. You can keep ahead of it. It's probably only about 7 hours behind you, you guesstimate. And the drums are very faint.
Okay.
But you can hear them once you're aware of them. And they're steady. It's a marching rhythm. Boom. 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 And it keeps steady. And it's multitudes of drums at once.
Yulari, it's not to alarm you, but, you know, if we keep a steady pace, I think this is going to be good for us. But it does sound like there's a lot of marching soldiers out there.
Do you recognize the signature drum beats? Are they friendly or shadow plane denizen horror shows?
Oh, like the Betrayer?
Yeah.
Is it familiar in that sense?
Yeah, you know what? This is familiar from when you did fight in the Shadow Plane. It's very similar drumming.
Oh, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty familiar. It's, yeah.
Great. Hop two. Really didn't need any more cardio today, but it's fine.
Love it. We just have to keep an even pace.
We can, you know, take over carrying your Larry's Jr. for a bit if it helps you.
Sure. I wouldn't say no to that. The Bjorn is adjustable, so who would like to take the baby?
Can I take her? I feel like, you know, sometimes she's so tight with you two, I don't get a lot of time to pat her little head.
Of course. And I will go about the process of taking the baby Bjorn off and very fussily tightening it and adjusting it to make sure that it's fitting snugly against Keela so that it's comfortable for both of them and no awkward limbs here and there.
Well, it looks good on you. You don't really wear that Bjorn very often.
No, I don't. And I think I pat Hilarious Jr. a little on top of the head, and maybe she gives just a little tiny. Much better. And I think that having this little moment, holding on to this little goat, this little very innocent life amidst this dark and dreary battlefield, I just turn to my friends and I say to them, we almost didn't make it through that last fight. Ilarius, if it wasn't for you, how are we supposed to take down the betrayer when we're fighting these forces on the field and they're almost taking... How are we supposed to be these leaders that they're prophesizing if we can't even take down these minions on the field?
I spent some time thinking about that when I was just, you know, walking around the field of corpses and stuff. And I don't think I know. I really don't. And I'm really afraid for what's to come if we don't have the power, if we don't have the strength, if we don't have the ability to be what we're supposed to be. How can we make it out of this? How can we live up to those expectations?
And Keela looks down at Ilarius Jr. again and says, there's so many people that are relying on us that need our help. People who are innocent and good. We can't let them down, but I don't know how not to.
I think at the end of the day, it's not about them. I mean, it's great. It's great if we save them all, and mm-hmm. that's fantastic. But it's not about them right now because we can't save. Like, that's not our job to save all of them. You're...
Isn't it?
You've always been a little bit more naturally inclined to the heroism, perhaps, than I have. And I've always been a little bit better at looking out for number one. And honestly, right now, I think that's the better tack to take. They're not our problem, and we can't do anything about them right now. What we can do is go punch someone in the face that has absolutely, totally deserved it and completely upended our lives for no good reason, and they're about to get what's coming to them. And this is about us, the three of us, and what we can do right now. And that dragon sucked a lot, but I think it was afraid. I do. I think it was afraid, and it didn't want to show it. And like, why would it take the time to talk and brag? And it knew. It knew we were coming for the betrayer, and the betrayer is throwing these things at us because it's afraid. And you know what? It should be. It should be. Look at us.
It should?
I mean, I guess we're pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I've won a lot of arm wrestles.
Exactly. And Keela, think of all the dashing ship captains you have wooed.
A lot.
I mean, I've tried.
And I know, there is another dashing ship captain waiting for you after all of this is done. But, and also, what good is all of these really terrifying spells that I have now, if not to absolutely stick it to the betrayer up there behind? So, you know what? I don't know if we'll make it out of this, and I don't know if we'll win. But at the end of the day, it's not about everybody else and our responsibilities. It's about us taking our best shot for the three of us. And I really hope that after this is all said and done, I can invite you all over to the Roaring Horn Estate and make my grandfather serve us all dinner. But even if we can't, there's no one else I'd rather go die in an epic battle with. Just aggressively tighten the last of the baby Bjorn straps. Keela's, you're finding it a little...
Hilarious. I can't really
right,
breathe.
Right. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Give me a second. Okay, there you go. Yes. Breathing.
When this is all over, can we travel together and not be running for once in our lives? Or once in our lives together, I should say. Wouldn't it be nice for us to travel together and just...
In a fancy chariot with baths every night.
How about, like, every other night?
Every night.
Ugh. But that all seems really nice. I've always been running. I've always only thought of other people. But if this is going to be the end of it, to be able to think only of myself and my best friends, and to really do it for me, that's meaningful. I'm not running. I'm fighting. I'm going towards something to end it all so
we can live freely, and that's all I've ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've spent so much time doing things for Rula. I kind of forgot how to do things for myself. But all I know is that whatever happens, I'm going to fight as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it for the two of you. And I'm going to do it for me, too.
Mm-hmm. That's the spirit. I clap Keela on the shoulder and what I'm trying to make a very forceful, but it's probably just a little pat.
And that's all that we can do, right? We can fight as hard as we can. We can watch each other's backs.
Always
we're
going
to make it out of this.
Always will.
Stick it to these assholes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to punch them in the face.
Kick them in the butts.
Shred them from within.
Mm-hmm. Step on their toes.
I'm going to kick them in the shins. It's really uncomfortable.
That's terrible, yes. Do you want us... Sorry, do you want us to roll these in roll 20 or just the regular dice?
Either or. Okay. I am going to be rolling all of my dice openly in roll 20 okay. because if someone dies, I just...
Yeah, that's fair.
Roll 20's fault. Yeah. And I think we'll end there.
All right. I am so sorry to Ryan for my audio because Zoom was taking over my microphone. I spent the whole time adjusting it.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was bad. And then I ended up Googling it just now, like at the 30-minute mark. And it was like, oh, check for other programs that might be using your microphone. Oh, if only I thought of that first. But so thanks, Ryan. I love you.
Thank you.
Bye, Ryan.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.